And I think that concludes the evening. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. How is everybody? Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are a great and mighty God, and I just am so, so thankful. I thank you for my beautiful family. I thank you for the gift of this church, and I thank you for your son. I pray that tonight we can take a breath, we can slow down, and we can sense your peace in a fresh way. In your mighty son's name we pray, amen. I was talking to one of my girlfriends on the phone yesterday, and she was like, there's just like something in the air. She's like, I feel like people are kind of like super stressed out. And I was like, well, I'm a little stressed out, so I feel it. And like, I was driving to church tonight, and I was like, it kind of doesn't even feel like Christmas Eve. Does anyone else feel that? It's like, is it the weather? What is going on? Like, there's just this weird feel of like this end of the year, like push and grind to get here and maybe to get to tomorrow and get through the family events. And I often find myself saying things like, I'm going to slow down when? Or I'm going to be good. I've been trying not to do it all week because starting tonight after I'm done preaching, Mama's off for a week and a half. And I'm like, if I can just make it through to Friday or to... What day is it? I don't even know, guys. It's weird. There's like this feeling. And one of my friends who may or may not be on staff, she sent me this picture this week as a meme. And it says, actual footage of me at the end of 2024 after being on the Lord's strongest soldiers list. And I was like so relatable. Because there's just like, I don't know, it's just like something in the air. There's just this feeling of sometimes this end of year push can create something where we're all just left like tired, you know, and ready for some time off. And as I was thinking about just kind of how I've been feeling and this sense that's going on in the air, I was thinking about like, man, I so badly don't want this busy life, this kind of stressed out feeling, to take away from the power of God in my life. I think too many times I can fill my time and my space up to a never-ending degree. I'm a girl that is busy. But what happens is I squeeze out the most important stuff. And I'm left feeling something. I did an experiment. I heard a preacher do this, and he said, just close your eyes and think about the thing that's robbing your peace. Everyone do it. You're like, wow, great way to start off Christmas, Sarah. But think about what is robbing your peace. Can you see it? Can you see them? And as I was sitting there, I was like, okay, the majority of us, it's circumstances that are robbing our peace. There's something that's going on that if we could change the circumstance, then we could have peace. For some of us, it's people. Unfortunately, it's people that when you close your eyes and you think of like where your peace is being robbed, a face pops up. As I was doing it, my own face popped up. I was like literally thinking, you're robbing yourself. And when I think about this Christmas, I was like, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to try to really sit in the presence of God because I don't want to miss the power. But somehow I feel like I'm forcing myself to feel it. Is that the least Christian thing you've ever heard a pastor say? I was thinking about, like, this book. Just thinking about Jesus' birth and everything that we read in this book. And I think for so long, I just didn't realize the power of what was in here. For so long, I just didn't honestly know how this book was even created. I knew God had something to do with it, but didn't really know. I didn't realize how many authors, I didn't realize how many years of history that this book spans and how many years it took to write for us to get a leather-bound Bible that we can order off anywhere at any time. I didn't realize how many lives were lost to preserve what was in this book, to give us the contents of what is now the Bible. I saw this beautiful image, and some of you have maybe seen it before, but it's this cross-reference image. And there were two men who decided to show you visually how many cross-references are actually in the Bible. Do you have that picture? Can we pop it up? Okay, so let me tell you what you're looking at, because isn't it beautiful? It's like it's stunning. So on the bottom line, where you see all those gray and white lines, what you're looking at is chapters of the Bible. So on the far left, it's Genesis 1. All the way to the far right, it's the last chapter in the Bible, Revelations 22. In the middle, do you see that really long one? That's the longest chapter in the Bible, and that's Psalms 119. And what a cross-reference is, it means that when something happens in one book, or they use a certain word, or there's a certain idea, and it touches another book, that's a cross-reference. So like in Isaiah 7, it says that a son will be born, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And in Matthew, you will see Emmanuel, God with us. So it's a cross-reference. So there are over 63,779 cross references that they discovered. And it'd be one thing if this was like one author. Like, it'd be one thing if this wasn't actually a library of books, but there are 40 authors in this book. There are 66 books. There is a time span of 1,500 years when people wrote this book. On three different continents, in three different languages. I don't know, it blows my mind. Like, if you have one author, like, of course there's going to be cross-references. One author is going to be like, oh, I'm thinking about this in the beginning, and I'm going to put this in the end, and I'm going to fill the plot in here. But when you think about the genius and the richness and the beauty of the contents of this book, it's overwhelming. It is rich. And inside of it, there is such power and such beauty that I do not want to waste it. And there's clarity of life. There's clarity of God's story and how he's been weaving all throughout history his story. I heard a pastor say, you know, history is really just his story. He's weaving in and out of it. And as I think about next year, like, how can I live in the kind of way where there is true peace that is based on something so much more solid than what I base my peace on now? When you thought about what is robbing your peace, like I said, it was probably a person or circumstances. It might be finances. But what I find is I often am looking for my peace through people. Like, when they're okay, then I'll be okay. If we can get this figured out, then I'm going to have peace. If my circumstances change, or if I can just get through and make it too, then I will have peace. But the problem is, if I give people the power to bring me peace, they have the power to take it away. If I put all my peace in my circumstances, I'm going to have no peace a lot. And the gift of Jesus Christ is something so much richer. The gift of the Prince of Peace is that he is offering us a peace that is in the midst of the hard, in the midst of the bad. And I'm going to do something different tonight. My mind loves pictures and works in different ways. And so as I was thinking about this Isaiah passage, and I was thinking about the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, my mind kind of formed this acrostic. And so I thought we would go through the word peace in the kind of way where at the end you can take a picture of it, and when you are going through it, when you're just feeling robbed of peace, you can go through each of the letters and remind yourself what true peace looks like. Deal? Okay. So P, for peace. In Philippians, we get this verse that says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." God tells us that he gives his peace not as the world gives. He gives it in something so much better. When I think about my life and trying to find peace in my circumstances, in the people, in the finances, whatever it might be, what I'm really, really struggling with is I don't want the peace that this world offers. I want the peace that our Heavenly Father offers. And he gives it to us in the form of Jesus Christ. There is a peace that does not make sense. And it's not when we get to wherever, it's how do we walk through it with peace. My mom had a stroke several years ago, and by happenstance, the phone called me. Her phone called me. And I rushed over there. I called the ambulance. We got her to the hospital, and we were in the emergency room, and it ended up just being her and I. And they had a mask on her, and we pulled down her mask, and it was just her and I, and it was this moment where I wasn't 100% sure if I was actually saying goodbye to my mom. It kind of felt like it. And I remember putting my forehead on her forehead. There's something special about my mom and I, too. We have this, bond. It's just, she's my mom. And I put my head on her forehead, and I was just telling her how much I loved her. And she was whispering back to me, and she was saying, "I'm good. I love you. I love your family. I love God, and I know no matter what, I'm good." And I was just sitting in this room with my mom, and where there should have been no peace, there was a peace that passed all understanding. Some of you know that peace. Some of you have experienced it for yourselves. And the beauty of Jesus Christ is he isn't just someone who offers peace. He embodies it because it's who he is. He is the Prince of Peace, and his peace, it passes all understanding. And when you reach that level of just I don't even know what to do in this moment, and you just need something different, then I want you to remember to go to your Heavenly Father. To say, I'm looking and I'm searching for something, and I need something that is not of this world. I need something deeper. I need something that only can come for you, and so I surrender. Will you offer me a peace that passes all understanding? This description in Isaiah, it talks about the Eternal Father as a name for Jesus. And it was interesting because you never hear Jesus called the Father, right? You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so I was it's a unique thing for me. So I'm wondering what's that all about? And in John, we see this beautiful picture that Jesus says, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." We get another verse in John where he says, I am in him and he is in me. And I think too often we think about God in the wrong way. And when we really, truly want to understand who our Heavenly Father is, who this eternal Father is, we have to look to the life of Jesus Christ. We have to seek him and we have to read and just say, okay, who is Jesus Christ? Because Christ will always show us a bigger and more beautiful picture of God the Father. And when I'm in these moments of like frustration and needing peace and needing something, I want to stop and I want to think about who he is. I want to think about who he is, and I think about his compassion, and I think about his love, and it can be so overwhelming. I think that there is this truth that God doesn't just see our weakness. He sees our full potential of who he created us to be. And when I'm trusting in an eternal Father, not that the building's going to catch on fire when I walk in, but it's a prerequisite of Christ that you just say, yeah, I'm a little messed up. I need some help. And you go to the eternal Father and you find revelation about who he is. He reveals himself. I was listening to a cool podcast. I'm a kind of girl that likes to hear both sides of the story, so I'll listen a lot. And when there's atheists, it was a podcast, and he called himself Violently Agnostic. And there was a scientist who had been an atheist most of his life, but found God and couldn't escape it. And he's one of the most awarded scientists alive. He found something with the geonome, I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend like I do. We're going to move right past that. Anyways, they were in this conversation, and it was like back and forth, and it was a very interesting conversation, but at the very end, what captivated me the most was the scientist who had found God looked at the man who called himself violently agnostic, and he's like, you know, what would it take? What would it take? What kind of revelation would it take for you to believe in God? Because this whole conversation, this young man, he seemed like not 100% convinced that he didn't believe in God. And it was this moment of him being like, man, I don't know, but I would love that. Like, I'm very open to that. I would really love a revelation. And I just remember seeking God in my season of life that just felt really hard. And I was reading scripture, and I'm also a firm believer, every single thing you go through, there's something in here that will touch it. And I was going through something, and I was just struggling and struggling and struggling, and there was a verse that it felt like God himself scooped me up and whispered in my ear. Part of the verse says, with great compassion, I will gather you. And do you know what my soul needed? It was compassion. Part of it says, with an everlasting love, I will have compassion on you. And when I think about who the eternal Father is, I don't think of a God that condemns, but I think of a God who gave his life. A God who showed compassion, a God who was born as a baby. He could have come any way, but he chose to live every piece of the life that we lived because he sympathizes with us from beginning to end. A, the Almighty God. I love this because it's like, oh, there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. He is mighty. He is strong. And when you have no strength left, there's strength to be pulled from him. When you are feeling like I don't know which way to go or how to get out, there is strength from an almighty God who empowers you, who strengthens you, and who helps you see yourself through. He guides you through. When I think of the Almighty God, I just think to myself, man, there are so many times and seasons in my life where I felt like stuck. so many times where I felt stuck, but there was an almighty God that I would seek after, and it would help me to persevere, and then the perseverance gave me hope. I don't know if you're looking for hope tonight, but you can find it in an almighty God who has strength and power. C, counselor. Have you ever had a bad counselor? I had a really bad counselor. My husband and I were going to counseling, and I sat in the office, and I swear to you, I looked at the door the entire time because I was like, I could get up and leave. Like, I could seriously just walk out. Because the man didn't really care what I had to say. He had his mind made up about me, or so I thought. And I've had some bad counselors where it's just like, ugh. But here's the beauty of Jesus Christ. When you are trying to find your peace, you have a counselor, and not just any counselor, but a wonderful counselor. When you are feeling stuck, when you're feeling like you don't know which way to go or what comes next, I want you to know to seek the advice of Jesus Christ. To seek the advice of the wonderful counselor who will not disappoint you, who will not let you down, who will not preconceive all the things about you. But instead, he knows what he's put in you. He knows who he has created you to be, and he will help see you through. Every time I sought Jesus Christ, my life has come out differently. When I try to do it on my own, I feel stuck. But every time I sought the advice of Jesus Christ and followed him, something better has happened. And it's not delivering me from something, but it's through walking through day by day, seeking him, asking him, and helping him, asking him to help guide me. The last thing we're going to talk about is this idea of peace. It's everlasting to everlasting. Verse 7 says, there is no end to his peace. There's no limit. There is no fill. There is no enough that God is going to give you. He has a limitless source of peace for your life. It's limitless. I said that kind of bad, but it's limitless. You know what I'm saying? There is no limit to what he will offer you. So time and time and time again, we seek him. Time and time and time again, we go to him and we say, God, you are a God that passes all understanding. Even though I don't know how, you will find a way. Can you give me that peace? You are the eternal Father, and I know you through the character of Jesus Christ, and I know you to be good and strong, and you are the almighty God who empowers and strengthens. You are not just any counselor. You are a wonderful counselor that guides and shows me a way. And time and time and time again, I can trust you. I can walk with you. There is no limit to his goodness. And this year, as we end it and as we move forward, I ask that you stop looking for peace in the broken ways that we do. That you start seeking a God who offers something richer and fuller and not a foundation of sand, but a foundation of Jesus Christ, which is solid rock. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you so much. I thank you for this Christmas. I pray that you bless each and every one of us who goes and is just with our family. I know that Christmas can heighten kind of wherever you're at, so I pray for those that are grieving. I pray that you give them a sense of peace, Father. I pray for those of us who feel healthy and joyful and that you will bless us. I pray for those who are struggling, Father, that you will be their rock, their almighty God, and you will sustain them. In your Son's mighty name we pray. Amen.